Heute bei uns zu Gast bei der Wüstenwelle im Why do you laugh?
I love the smile. I'm finally getting it. When I entered, it was not there. He was so scared for some reason. I was so scared.
Bei uns zu Gast heute in der Wüstenwelle ist Claren, der mich heute Morgen furchtbar erschreckt hat, als er ins Radio reinlief, weil es früh morgens war und ich mit niemandem gerechnet habe. Genau, Claren ist bei uns zu Gast heute im Lokalmagazin von der Wüstenwelle. Wer Claren nicht kennt, was ziemlich unwahrscheinlich ist, in Tübingen kennt fast jeder Claren, zumindest wenn man mit dir durch die Stadt läuft, dann sagt man ständig, Hi, bleibt überall stehen, weil Claren jeder kennt. Da weiß Claren erst, I tell the people a bit about you, okay?
Okay. Whatever she said, yes, that's true. Believe her.
Ja, Claren ist erst seit 2,5 Jahren in Tübingen, aber nichtsdestotrotz ist er aus Tübingen, der Kulturlandschaft, überhaupt nicht mehr wegzudenken. Claren ist beim Landratsamt und arbeitet dort mit für Tü News International. Das ist eine Zeitschrift speziell für Geflüchtete, die speziell für Geflüchtete Informationen bietet, eine Zeitschrift, ein Plakat rausgibt. Und Claren ist der Gründer der allerersten Musikzeitschrift in Tübingen, nämlich Tü Sounds. Außerdem macht Claren hier im Freien Radio Wüstenwelle die Newcomer News, in Zusammenarbeit auch mit dem Landratsamt. Was macht Claren noch alles? Claren ist eigentlich Journalist seit knapp 20 Jahren und er ist außerdem angestellt bei einer Tontechnikfirma. Und ach ja, genau. Und du machst noch eine Konzertreihe in Tübingen.
November 17th.
Ah, genau. Am 17. November ist das nächste Benefizkonzert, auch wieder speziell für Geflüchtete. Und Claren kann schon ganz gut Deutsch, aber noch nicht so gut, dass man ein ganzes Interview auf Deutsch machen könnte, ne? So.
No, not yet.
Deine eigentliche ursprüngliche Sprache ist
Konkani.
Konkani. Yeah. Und diese Sprache kannte ich vorher nicht, die spricht man in Goa.
Ja. Yeah.
Und Claren ist aufgewachsen in Goa und er sagt immer, you always say that this is not really India because it was a Portuguese colony and not a British one.
Yeah. And if you ever come to India, we are a conservative nation overall, just to let you know. But if you do come to India and if you are in a sleeveless top or you're wearing something a little bit short which is revealing your lower half of your legs also, not many people take it as conservative behavior like they have in their places, except for a place in Goa and the Himalayas, the mountains of India, because the tourists from all over the world, they frequent there more often. So the people are more used to outsiders coming there and they're more used to the fact that, okay, when they come to our place, it's not that cold like how it is here. So people do not need to wear long sleeves and they can wear strap tops and spaghetti tops, etc. You know, and it's all right to do this. But this is really seen in a place like Goa, which has got a lot of Western culture influence. And of course, in the mountains. The mountains of India also have a lot of tourists coming because the Israeli government actually has made it an advisory for all the citizens of Israel. To
Echt?
Yeah, it's actually a legal advisory by the government of Israel to the Israelites that after they finish their 2 years of army, they should go to India and relax in the mountains or places in India and come back.
Really?
Yes. This is, I'm not kidding you about this one. And this is how the whole situation is, you know, with regards to foreigners coming and things like that. So Israelis and things, people have already been going to the mountains because of this. And hence the people are exposed to this. But Goa has always been a tourist destination. And that's been from the 60s.
So Goa really is a bit different from the rest of India and especially less conservative.
Yes.
So then, why did you leave it?
For love.
Ah, that's the best reason ever.
Well, that's the only reason and it's a good only reason to have, like, you know, somehow.
But I'm really impressed how you set up your life that quickly in Tübingen, you know. You are really an incredibly important part now of Tübingen, you know. Everyone knows you and you are doing
so much for the refugees, and you are setting up the possibilities for musicians that were not there before?
Well, I'm feeling a little bit out of place because I would not be able to do it without a little help from my friends.
Yeah, but you set it up, you know, and you made the two sounds, you know, you had the idea
It's a few suggestions I gave, but it's good that I was there in a structure already of Two News International, and then I had the potential to give more suggestions, you know. There was already something set up by this gentleman called Dr. Wolfgang Sanwald. And that's actually the Kulturgut department of the Landratsamt. So they have their project.
Und das Landratsamt, das Kulturgut vom Landratsamt, hatte die Idee, Two Sounds aufzulegen.
Two News International. And then,
Two News International.
Yeah. Actually, the Two Sounds came because of... it's a chain of events which actually happened, but it all started with me coming to Dr. Sanwald and saying, why don't we do something more exciting like an event and try and get people together physically. Like, you know, everybody reads the Two News, and that's also a common ground that everybody knows the news that is there, you know. But we would like them to come out of their houses. And I come from this place called Goa where the lifestyle is... party culture in itself. So we seem to be proficient in getting different types of age groups of people out to party. Like back home, we have festivals where there is no alcohol, no smoking, no chief guest, no dignitary, you know, things like that. So we have these various permutations and combinations, and I've the experience. So I came here and I told them, let's make a concert. Let's put some people together. They liked it. So it's not only my suggestion, but it's also the fact that they were interested in opening up to something new like this. And when they did that, we had these two concerts. There were two concerts which took place.
Also diese Benefizkonzerte.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So they happened at the Apple House. And since they had to be like for the refugees, etc., we did not really have a budget for it. So I went up to... people from the folk lung, and there were smaller groups in the folk lung actually, but were not really coming out and performing all together as a small group. So I happened to meet some of these people and told them, hey, look, why don't you guys perform, you know, for this thing? Since folk lung was not really able to perform at that point, I was not giving them enough of notice. So I said, instead of folk lung performing, why don't you guys come and perform? You guys have a group of your own as well, you know. And they were the guys from Iraq and the Arabic-speaking population from the folk lung, to be precise. So they came up and with their own band called Spirits Arabia, which was so beautiful. I believe that that show of theirs was their second ever concert.
Ach.
But that was the whole thing. After this and a couple of more things which we did, we put it all into a magazine. Because they performed for us for free. And they were nice enough to come and give us their time. So we decided we don't give them money, but we give them what we can, which is publicity.
Ah.
So we bought them on the Wooster Valley. We have interviews with them, which are already up online, actually. And we have the print.
So that's how the Two Sounds magazine was born.
Yes.
It was more of a...
nice story.
Yeah, cool. And some sort of attitude of gratitude, no? Also Dankbarkeit gegenüber den Musikern, die für euch kostenlos gespielt haben.
Yeah,
toll.
Yeah.
Ja, und das nächste Konzert ist ja am 17. November.
That's correct.
Welche Bands und Musiker habt ihr dafür bekommen?
Well, there is a very, very popular and hugely popular compere who's going to be there. Her name is Gabrielle. I'm looking at her right now.
I'm not a musician.
No,
please
I said compare.
Ah, okay.
You're not a musician, huh? But I was not talking about that part of you yet. Well, that we will see, of course, at the show because, I was only asking you to moderate throughout the event.
Ja, genau. Also Clarence hat mich gefragt vor ein paar Wochen, ob ich das Event moderieren möchte. Natürlich, weil es ist eben ein Benefizkonzert für Geflüchtete.
And then you said you'll sing some songs also.
No, I didn't ever say
you, so. You also said you'll do the belly dance. No, you're not going to? What do you say?
Claire, I think you should moderate that thing.
Well,
I guess you are the comedian here.
No, believe me, it's actually very nice to know that, you know, it's going to be a lot of more friends coming again and performing again at this sort of concert. And I'm just more excited about that fact because it's the Apple House again. It is, it's going to start with the children's program. This program has a special thing about engulfing all age groups. It's called For All. So it's not only for all types of people and everyone, basically. It's also for different age groups. So we have this drum workshop, a drawing thing going on at the beginning of the event, starting at 3 o'clock, where the children can come, do their thing. The participants...
Also, das fällt schon 3 Uhr an, das Konzert mit einem Kinderprogramm.
Yeah. And then it goes higher along the...
The age.
Age, you can say. Well, there's a children's drum workshop by a gentleman called Abdu Sar. He's from a group called Safnama. He comes from Africa. And he comes from one side of Africa, of course. His interview and his... he's been a guest writer on the second edition of the Two Sounds International, just to get an idea of who this person is. And now he will be having a drum workshop with children as well as adults. And what happened like last time was we would be taking these guys who learned this thing, the drum workshop thing, and as soon as they finish learning, they start the concert with their first ever live performance.
Also sobald sie es gelernt hatten bei dem Workshop, dann sind sie auch schon auf die Bühne.
Yeah, the first time ever, erstmal.
Erste Mal. That's a genial idea.
You should have seen the look on their faces the last time. I have the pictures of this, Gabriel. It is so beautiful. It's unbelievably beautiful because these people never really expected to perform in their lives.
They didn't know even. Yeah. They didn't know in advance. Yeah. Ach, die haben das nicht mal gewusst vorher.
I mean, they knew that, I had mentioned it in the advertisement and the advertising that, you know, it's going to be like this. But for them to actually experience it, when I went and clicked pictures of them, I still have those pictures and the smiles are so rewarding that you don't need any money for this concert ever again. Like, you know, it's really that cool. Like, so yeah, that's going to be the start and then it's going to go on with more programs. The same guy from the band will then perform. Folk Lung will be performing. There will be a band called Damn Liquor, which is, they have some nice simple songs of life. This is a nice band actually, a band called Damn Liquor. I don't know if they know of it, but from Tübingen. And then there is a band which might also be performing, which I'm yet to confirm, of course, it's a brass band. They just play blowing instruments, different types of blowing instruments. So there's a variety to look forward to, apart from the variety of people that should be coming for this event.
And they all play for free, right? All the musicians.
That's so wonderfully correct.
Wow. Wow, that is really beautiful.
Exactly. So it doesn't make sense to not do anything. So it just makes more sense to give something back. And since we can't give the money, it was decided that we write this thing in the write articles about them. You know? Like, what do musicians need? They just need the publicity and the backing and the encouragement so that they can do their best somewhere else. Somebody else picks them up and gives them the money, which they can probably do so, like, you know. So that's
a really beautiful idea.
That seems to work out for them also very nicely. Super.
Also dieses Event ist am 17. November und es fängt an um 15 Uhr im Apple House.
Mhm.
Und die ganzen anderen Konzerte sind dann eben auch im Apple House an dem Abend. Okay.
Ja.
Und wo kann man denn dann das Magazin lesen, Two Sounds? Wie kann man das bekommen?
Well, for starters, it's a part and parcel of the Two News International. So if you ever get to see the Two News International copies lying around anywhere, and we are a non-profit organization, so we are not selling these. These are free of cost, including the Two Sounds magazine.
Also das Two Sounds magazine und die Two News International sind alle
kostenlos.
Gratis, kostenlos.
That's true.
Und wo liegen die rum oder wie kann man die dann genau bekommen?
Well, I can't really answer that directly because it's a non-profit thing. We've not gone all out to market it, you know. We've given it to areas where we know the refugees are. So we go sometimes. There's a friend of ours, also the part of this team, Two News International, called Bright Igbinovia. Very active. He's also from Africa and he's very active in helping people with regards to this refugee thing or even migration thing. So he goes specifically to each house. He actually visits every household. He does his other job as well, like, you know, delivering food stuff here and there. So he gets the opportunity to also go all the way there and meet the families and give these things.
But this is your toll.
Talk to them and, you know, things like that. Then, like we were speaking about yesterday, Two News has a couple of other things under them. One is Newcomer News, which
hier
is the show.
Freien Radio, die Newcomer News, yeah. Immer mittwochs von 3 bis 5.
Yeah. Then we have this For All event. Then we have something called Two News for Earth, which is when we go to a Kreis part of Tübingen and we organize that we are coming there on so-and-so day and we inform all the people from that area to please come. And then we just talk about a little bit about Two News International, what it is. And then we ask them, what are your questions do you want to know about living here in Deutschland, etc., etc.? So then they come up with all their questions and then we get the matter to write again in this thing. So we are trying to be as directly, practically relevant as much as possible, you know.
Also die Fragen, die dann da kommen, die kommen dann auch direkt wieder in das Two News International Magazin rein.
Mm-hmm. I mean, many of these things, like you were saying, also came from suggestions by others as well as myself and also. We've all sat together and done this thing is what the final bottom line is, you know. I mean, even though you can say my suggestion was this and my suggestion was that, but we're all doing it together and it's nice to have it like that.
Du machst ja viele verschiedene Dinge hier in Tübingen.
Aha.
Gibt es dahinter ein Ziel, das du hast, das dich antreibt?
Like, why am I doing this?
Yes.
Okay. Ein Ziel. The goal is to just see smiling faces, man. I mean, think about it. I come from a place where there are only smiling faces. You know, here sometimes it's a little bit difficult because sometimes people ask you. I know a friend who was actually stopped by the police. And she was actually, she was just smiling all the time because she's that sort of a person. And she's comes from another place, you know. She's one of these gypsy ladies, you know.
Sie wurde von der Polizei gestoppt, weil sie gelächelt hat?
No, she was just stopped because of some other reason, whatever, like, you know. For probably going a little bit fast or what I don't really know. But when she was stopped, the point of the story is that she was then searched by the police because the police kept on asking, why are you smiling so much? It looks like you're on drugs. And she was definitely not on drugs. She was just like smiling generally, you know. She's just like that sort of a person. And the place where I come from, we do this all the time. We're just smiling all the time and hugging each other all the time and things like that. Okay, there's small enclaves in Goa where we know each other very well, of course. You're not just hugging any stranger, but, you know, it's a very high-spirited feeling in that situation. And it feels nice to see people like that. And for so many years being there, I've seen so many nationalities come all the way from Germany especially and come to Goa and have these beautiful smiles on their faces, you know. So it would be nice to see them smiling again. And I've seen the smiles on the dance floor. So I'm creating some more dance floors for that.
So you just want to make people smile.
Yeah,
that's a really beautiful motivation.
Yeah, I mean, apart from that, I just want to say this. If I want to die, I want to die on the dance floor. Like I'm dancing and all that. And there's a tsunami which comes and swallows the hell out of us. You know, that's what I would like. Like that's... Anyways, apart
so,
from my fantasies.
You should dance more, just to be sure.
Oh, I have the spaces to dance more. Yeah, but it's nice.
So, people are not used to smile a lot here.
No, they do smile a lot here. I'm not saying that. I just want them to smile some more when they are in like a position like this. Because you see, it also works. It also works because like the last time, there was a lady who came and she participated in the drum workshop. Then there was unbelievable smile on her face, like I was telling you about when she performed. Then she finished performing and then there was a dance workshop. And then there was another unbelievable smile on her face because when the music started with these Arabic musicians, she could practice those dance moves. Okay. And now I'm talking about a lady who's 60 plus. So you see, it's an experience. Now what happens is, I'm not in so much in touch with her, so like, you know, regularly as you and me are probably in touch, like, you know, we speak sometimes in a week or twice, but I'm not so much in touch with her. But whenever she does refer to me, she smiles thinking of that event. And it's so nice, you know, to be in that smiling thing. But of course, I'm not doing it for that. But I'm just telling you how it works out.
Yes.
Like this, and how these things can be very motivational, you know.
Oh man, that's
and
toll.
Then there's no expectation. You just do it and then things follow, you know. You don't do things with expectation because you see the musicians, they are playing for free. If they can play for free, you don't need to have any expectations yourself. Like, you know.
Wow. Du hast gestern ein bisschen erzählt von den Unterschieden. Dinge, die dir auffallen, die hier anders laufen. Du bewertest ja Dinge immer nicht so, aber you talked to me yesterday about the differences between your culture in Goa and here. Mm-hmm. And there were two things that really impressed me. One was the difference in journalism or the effect of journalism you experienced there. Mm-hmm. And the second thing was customer service. That really seemed to somehow impress you here. Genau, also es gab so zwei Dinge, die mir Clarence schon erzählt hat, die wohl sehr anders laufen. Das eine ist, Clarence ist ja schon sehr lange Journalist und seine Arbeit als Journalist in Goa.
Actually, I was a journalist all over India. I was doing freelancing stories for...
Ach, du warst in ganz Indien.
Yeah, but yeah, my base was Goa, so I was doing Goa stories. And because I was in Goa and there was so much of international audience, I became an international journalist in Goa because I was writing only about the international audience for about 9 years only, like, you know.
Ah.
So it was nice to just be in Goa because many nationalities come there for their holidays, and then when they come there, there is a lot of artists. There are many artists who come. And believe me, I'm talking about big, huge artists. Have you heard of the gentleman called Jude Law from Hollywood?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was with a friend of mine doing yoga.
Was, echt?
In the forest of Arambol in Goa.
Okay.
Okay. So, like, it's things like these. Then at the parties once, I met a gentleman from... He was from this movie Ben-Hur.
Ach.
Yeah. He was from this movie Ben-Hur, you know, and he was... dancing with all of us. And we were having a nice time at a party in Goa once, and I happened to come across a gentleman called Derek. I don't know his last name, but he was in this movie Ben-Hur.
Das gibt's ja wohl nicht.
And
was?
Many more things like that. Like, we met the nurse of, a friend of mine met the nurse of Syd Barrett. Syd Barrett is the ex-singer of Pink Floyd. So, he was in a mental asylum for many years, and there was a nurse which would take care of him, and that nurse came to Goa. Imagine that, like, you know, how can you, how does the world get so small, like, you know, you don't know. Then people like Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, they keep coming. They have friends of mine who are friends of theirs and from Led Zeppelin. And it's not like, oh, they are coming. It's just normal people also, you know, so. Breaks down.
And so you wrote about the international cultural life in Goa.
Yeah, because there were many such artists coming and newer things taking place. So it would be nice to give us in Goa an idea of what is going on from the international side, you know. It's always good like that. And that is my link also to the Deutsche media. Like, the statistic here is about 95% of the people working in the Deutsche media are only from Deutschland. Now, I can ask you to say many things about yourself, and you will not stop because you have a lot of things to say about yourself because you know yourself. But it's about you doing your own self, your own story, you know. Yeah. It would be nice if there would be people from other places who would also be there, so there would finally be a less possibility of a bias. I'm not saying that there is a bias now all the time. Whether there is or is not, it depends on situation, I guess. That's not a generalization judgment I'm making there. But the very simple philosophy, fundamental thing of what I'm saying is the 95% of the people are from here itself.
And we need more foreign journalists.
It would be nice. It would be, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It would be nice. Because for the simple reason that if you are in your own house, talking about your own house all the time, then it, I don't know, get nicks, na? You know?
Yeah, and you also told me yesterday that the picture of the German media in other countries is quite poor.
Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are sources which officiate these things. There is a map outside in this very radio station which talks about the fairness of the media all over the world. And there are difficult situations, very difficult situations. You know, it's different colors. And there's a whole world map. And Germany, I think, is given an average rating for this. I'm actually very very with the German media and how they report, because I read an article in the Schwäbisch Tagblatt I was telling you yesterday. It was the first line of this article. It was the front page, I think. But it was a huge article in the top level of the newspaper. Like when you have a newspaper, the top level article, which is on the front, on the top of the page, is more important than what is down. So it was given that pedestal, given that importance. And it started by saying, out of the 6 or 7 people thrown out of a nightclub because of sexual harassment towards women, 5 were black. So, I mean, I can stay away from making a judgment, because you and me know what judgments are and how opinions can be leading and misleading. But I would not expect a newspaper person to write something like that. Like, you know, they probably didn't say black, but he said African of origin. But even that so what was the need for you to start that article with that? There was no need. We can criticize all we want, because articles are written different way by different people and everybody must write differently. That's all good. But this is something which... What would you say about this? What's your opinion on this?
This is setting a racist bias. It is of no importance, first of all, you know, which color their skin had, you know.
Yeah.
If an article starts like that, it is just setting the bias for racism and populism.
Yeah.
So I think this is really dangerous, because it is pushing the readers in the totally
wrong
way.
Wrong direction.
Towards more violence even. Yeah. So, yeah. But for you, is this a way of influencing the media in a better way to do radio here at the Freie Radio Wüstewelle? So do you see that there is a difference between Freie Radio Wüstewelle and other media?
Definitely. I'm so happy with the free radio here. I've been in the radio industry in my country as well for about 13 years approximately, because I was doing journalism and I was a freelancer. I was also doing a little bit of television and a little bit of radio. So when I was doing that, there was Big FM, which actually came down to India and has more than 44 installations all over India. And I was part of the setup of Big FM all over India as well as in Goa. So now this is a formal radio station where you cannot go without making sure about what you're speaking, you know. So I am already been experienced in this part where, okay, you can't say this, you can't say this, you can't say this, you can't use any bad words, you can't basically say what you want to say like you would be able to right here. It's something else.
This is not free radio.
Exactly. I mean, you would only know the difference probably once you've been to a caged radio, how they call it. But it's not really caged radio. It's just protocols set by corporate firms with respect to the fundings they get and respect to the social surroundings. And then to keep it on a very moderate level. So what they do also, and they're doing it because of the moderation. They don't want to be extreme on any side, like, you know. This is what the radio thing is there. And when I come here and I see free radio, which is giving so much of potential, it's unbelievably brilliant.
Why is it?
Unbelievably brilliant. Because you can say what you want to say. You can have a person come over here who has very emotional opinions about something. You know, usually when opinions come about a particular topic, they can be very clear and crisp. But sometimes when you're emotionally involved with the topic, they come out emotionally. So there is a little bit of lack of clarity, but there's a lot of humanness in this, you know. And I'm more into this sort of area, like the human interest area as far as journalism is concerned, even with regards to activism.
So what are the topics exactly that you bring up here?
Here? In free radio, it's... well. For Newcomer News, for instance, the show where I'm supposed to be working with all the newcomers, and I'm a newcomer myself, we have the section where we start off with lots of songs and chats between us, and then there are a few people who will come by and guest speakers who will come and who will speak. None of them are experts, okay? But it's a casual place where people's opinions come across each other. Like once there was a gentleman who came and spoke about Afrin and this attack on Afrin. And what I did was I put another friend of mine called Ahmad Salah, who is from Syria. And he is the gentleman responsible for this photograph exhibition which just happened a couple of days ago about the war in Syria, etc. Very nice photographic exhibition which actually gives us insight into what really happens.
In the Landratsamt.
Yeah, it was in the Landratsamt. And the thing is, this sort of a situation where he, a gentleman who spoke about Afrin, was a little bit emotional about the thing. But equally, there was enough of emotion from the other side because Ahmad was also a Syrian. And you could see, there was one person who had the facts right from research, and there was one person who had heard what he had heard from his own friends. Not formal research, but he came from that area. So the interaction was brilliant in my case. It went on to a very intense one. But it's nice to have things like this, you know. There was something which I read on a Facebook post. Imagine that. But it's very, very nicely said. I don't know who said it. But it was about, it's not about stopping people from talking about religion and politics so as to not to create conflicts. Instead, you should be teaching people how to talk about difficult topics like this without creating a conflict. You know?
Also, dass man die Menschen nicht davon abbringen sollte, über Religion und Kultur und Politik zu sprechen, sondern dass man einander darin schulen sollte, wie man das macht, ohne einen Konflikt darauf zu beschwören.
Yeah. It's because many times we ignore that. Even once or twice at the reduction meeting at 2 News, some of us were not able to face a topic very nicely. And then the reaction is, okay, let's not talk about this, let's go to the next point. Incorrect. I think we make a huge mistake when you do things like this, you know. You push things under the rug.
You must go into it.
Well, go into it and be brave enough to have it nicely, you know. To have it without your emotional connect, to have it without your opinion coming in there. If you cannot, then you have a lot to learn, basically. Now I'm wondering how that actually can be put into action, and hopefully radio will give us this opportunity, you know. The last time it was another person from the IMI telling us about the demonstrations, and one was about Rheinmetall. And Rheinmetall seems to be this company. But the fact of the matter is, Rheinmetall was not sitting with us in the studio. It was another person sitting in the studio giving us all information, which was perfectly correct information. But I could not, in my own journalistic experience, let this person insult Rheinmetall for the simple reason that Rheinmetall was not in the studio.
Yeah.
So it's not nice to be able to say something, even if they are wrong. You know what I'm saying? It's like also how people say these things about the AFD. They are very brutal about the AFD. But they forget, AFD are also people. They are brutal about police. All cops are, you know what, ACAB.
Yeah, yeah.
But police are also human beings, you know. And I'm not saying to go and become friends with them and all that. Well, you can if you want to. But don't spread the hate. We don't need this hate.
So this is one plea that you have also for maybe journalists in the Freie Radio Wüstewelle or whoever talks publicly, you know.
Yeah,
That we treat each other with real respect, even if the other person is not there. And even if we critique the other party or the other person who is not there.
Gabriel, everybody is a critic, yeah? Everybody loves to be a critic. Let's be very honest about ourselves first. We love to criticize. But are we getting carried away so much with our love for this criticism that we are forgetting the fact that we are going so deep into it and so hardcore into it that we don't leave any room for anything more beautiful anymore? If you had to just reverse that and instead of criticizing made some more nicer points about the same thing, maybe things could be different, no?
But now regarding the example of Rheinmetall,
mm-hmm.
How can you do then things more beautiful concretely, you know? Do you mean just the way of talking about them?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that will make a difference. Tomorrow, the manager of Rheinmetall, the CEO or whoever the big boy of Rheinmetall is sitting and listening to this interview, or you are listening to an interview about me talking to X person about Gabriel, okay? How would you like it if you listen to only us guys bitching about you? Or how would you like it if we guys speak something about you, but we speak very nicely without insulting you? Which one would you prefer? The answer is obvious. So, I mean, we don't need to be more fascistic than we already are. You know? We are like this.
Yeah.
So somebody else can be like that, no?
So, that's really what you told me yesterday about the left. You didn't want to call it movement here, but the left people, let's say, who sometimes, how do you say, geringschätzen, you know, who sometimes are that
What's
arrogant.
Geringschätzen? Ah, yes.
Who sometimes are arrogant towards other people and other parties. So maybe this would really cure a lot in society, you know, if we made it the way you suggest.
It's only a suggestion and it's not my way. It's basically nothing is an original idea. None of us sitting in this planet today have an original idea. It's just manifestations, okay? So if we ever think, oh, this is my idea, I'm so great, we have to think again. Okay, it's not the same. But when it comes to things like the left, firstly, I will clear my stance. I am not left, I am not right, I am not center, okay? Neither do I want to be in the middle of all of this. Sorry, I do not want any of this. What I want is people smiling, dancing. Yeah, I'm very happy with those sort of nuances. But since I'm also politically active as a journalist, my take is not to spread hate. And I'm sorry, but I know what the point of spreading hate is like, you know, when you pull something against someone. See, for example, Rheinmetall. Let's say that they are doing something really bad. Now, let's see the practical situation. Can we do something about it right now? Can we stop them right now? No, not possible. They are huge corporates. Not to look at their power trip there, but if we want to stop them right now, it's not like you and me are going to stop going to Rewe or Kaufland anyways. You know, it's not like we are going to separate ourselves from this corporate thing. No, no, with this corporate capitalism we don't like. Many of these people come up with these funny ideas. Ah, capitalism is all bollocks and all not good and all these things. But I'm sorry, but you're going to the supermarket every day. You know, there is a gentleman who was once in Goa and he was having an argument with another friend of mine saying, hey, look, bro, I am from the left and I don't believe in any of these corporates. I don't go to the supermarket. I grow my own vegetables. I do this. I do that. So we heard him for a long time, huh, Gabriel? He was really trying to say that he was not part of this big bad world, okay? And then one of my friends just looked at him and my friend is just standing there cooking something and he looks and says, hey bro, and this guy is trying to prove a point by saying, I am not in the system. I don't need the system. I am out of the system. So my friend who's cooking turns around and says, hey bro, you have a passport? And the guy says, yes. He says, so you are in the system.
Yeah, but there are things you can choose, you know. You can't choose not to have a birth certificate. You can't choose to have a passport. But you can choose how you take part in society. And I really do understand people who say that capitalism is one of the most central problems because it takes value from beings and gives it to the money.
Can I break it down a little bit?
Yeah.
Have we not agreed on this before that capitalism is not good? Capitalism is not good, okay? We know this thing. Now what, Gabs? Let's go ahead. You know, that's part of the conversation which is becoming a cliche. When we keep on saying capitalism is not good.
We need the critiques of capitalism to change it. We can't abolish capitalism now because we now do live in the world where capitalism has
taken over.
No, it has taken over.
Yeah.
But we need still the distance from capitalism. That's just my opinion.
See, when the Industrial Revolution happened, there were people living during that time and it went on for a period of time and it got over. Right now, we are also living in a transition. But nobody wants to understand this part of the story.
I'm not sure whether it's a transition or just... Well, it's always a transition, right?
Mm-hmm. It is always a transition, no?
The question is just, how could capitalism ever vanish by itself, you know?
Now you're talking. we don't need to talk about the problem. We need to talk about the solution. Because if you talk about the problem, which is quite common around me, around here in this place, they talk a lot and so much about the problem that they forget that, okay, now what do we do is not being spoken about. You have to have a solution around things, no? What's the point of just talking about the problem again and again?
Yeah, but you need this point of view. Of course, you should not talk about the problem more than about the solution, maybe, but you can't ever get a solution without understanding the problem.
That's like, again, going around in circles. It's like you're talking about capitalism again,
yeah,
not being good. It's like we've already agreed about this 7 times right now, which is all good, no? I agree with you. I'm fully with you, Gabriel. I totally agree with what you're saying. You have your choice. You have your preferences. Everybody does. True that. Super true that. Now tell me something. You don't want to go to the supermarket, which is a cop. For example, just an example. You don't want to go to the supermarket because you don't want to be part of this capitalism game. I go to the supermarket. Do you start hating me?
No.
That's my point. My point is anybody can do it anyways, differently, anyways, with all these choices that you're talking about with these people have. So it makes no real sense to badge at the problem. If you go to the solution, what happens instead? What happens is this. You then talk about the solution and I see what you're talking about. But when you talk about the problem, me, who keeps on going to Kaufland, already knows this thing.
But regarding now, for example, Rheinmetall or all the big
corporate capitalistic companies.
Yes. Yeah? I just don't see a solution.
We cannot be immature about this. We are not children anymore because that's what I'm trying to say. We have to understand that this is a transition. This transition will take a certain amount of time.
Okay. I don't see any possibility for a positive transition if we don't act.
I see possibility.
Which
now
one?
What?
Okay, now tell me.
Mm-hmm. My possibility exists from the fact that I believe in people. And people will understand and change in some time. I have seen this happen. You may have had other experiences, but I have had positive ones. So I will stay with mine if you stay with yours.
I am really happy that you have.
Yeah, I won't be sad for you, but I mean, I'm just going to hope for the better anyways. And that's why I was saying it's much nicer to speak about solutions more often than you speaking about problems.
This was a very nice finish for our talk. Let's talk more about solutions than problems.
Yeah, I know.
And talk to each other in a nice way, even if the other person is not there and even if you're totally on the other side, then.
Yeah, I mean, these are things which you should be doing anyways.
Yeah, but it does not seem to be self-understanding anymore.
That's.
Yeah.
That's the way the cookie crumbles. Yes. That is true.
So, Claren, thank you so much for this talk, but for all the effort you're making and that you're making people smile and that you are always smiling when you come in. Really, you are the person here smiling. So, yeah, thank you.
Many funny things around in the morning, you know, just look around, will you?
Okay.
Just saying.
Claren, thank you so much. You are here and you are here.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Das war das Lokalmagazin für heute. Ganz spontan heute mit Claren Mazzarello vom Freien Radio, Tür News International, von Tür Sounds und von dem Benefizkonzert. Und ich hoffe, ich sehe euch alle am 17. November im Apple House. Tschüss.
Tschüss.
UKW und 97,45 im Kabel. Das ist das Freie Radio Wüstewelle. Das einzige freie Radio für Tübingen, Reutlingen und die Umgebung.